listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to all and sundry.
Ahoy, sir.
Someone asked over email, why do we say ahoy? It is the preferred telephonic greeting. And actually,
it was Alexander Graham Bell's wish for the phone. When he invented the phone, this was back in the radio show days. He invented the phone way before. We used to just say, send us a letter. 131060 is the address. When they invented the phone, we were reading about the fact that they also had to invent what you say on the phone. Yep. And he wanted to say ahoy because he thought it would be nice to follow the nautical tradition. And he was overruled the hello gang. So one of the classic battles of yesteryear.
Yep.
But shout out to AGB, we are trying to bring back ahoy.
We say ahoy to Robbie as well, who's sent this in.
Ahoy, Hamish and Andy and Jack. I'm just getting started for my day. I'm having pizza for breakfast.
Yum.
And I'm watching Riverdale, the new season.
Oh, great.
And then I'm going to go out and do some training. So pretty good day all in all. Hope you guys have a good one. Bye.
That is a big good time day. We will. Yeah. Hands up who thought she was going to say Riverdance. Is that, I'm eating pizza and watching Riverdance. Wow, what a morning.
What is Riverdale?
Michael Flatley.
No, that's Riverdale. If Riverdale's Michael Flatley as well, he needs to branch out Riverdale with his branding. Riverdale sounds like something you'd find on a Netflix or whatever, but if it sounds more contemporary, I would think, than Michael Flatley's Riverdance.
Haim, let me kick off with this. Betrayals are hurtful.
They suck.
I mean, what are the big betrayals in history, do you think?
Julius Caesar.
Oh, yeah.
He got done by Brutus, didn't he?
Yeah, he got stabbed in the back.
Many times. In public.
Yep.
The worst.
I would say.
Because you've got the annoyance of dying.
Yes.
And the embarrassment of dying publicly. Now, at least with a private stabbing, you have the dignity of a private death.
And the guy can stab you and go, shh.
Yes, even if you're squealing or yelling or you know, you're bound to do something that you're not proud of during the stabbing or just sort of behave in a way that you've accidentally, you know, you're never going to get a chance to take it back because you're very close to the end, but, you know, you probably would squeal or yelp or do something you weren't.
Poop yourself.
You might be a bit of a poop. And that's one of the real downsides of, I think he was stabbed in the Roman Senate.
Yep.
For all to see.
That one was a big one. I felt Judas and Jesus.
Yep, another public one that eventually led to a public game.
Very public. You and I have been betrayed.
Who by?
Jack.
Oh, no.
I don't remember.
The Beard Alliance. What about the Beard Alliance?
I don't remember.
We were building an alliance.
And, Haim, we talk about public ones, public betrayals being the worst.
This wouldn't have been public.
This one's public.
Oh, no. Well, tell me what it was. I can't remember.
Jack, you obviously do another show.
Yeah.
It's Christian O'Connell Breakfast Show.
Yes.
Would you mind playing that audio that I just handed you before?
Okay.
Christian O'Connell Breakfast Show. You know who starts the old Tuesday fleeing?
Oh, it's personal trainer day today.
No, not Frank. No, that's all the other days of the week. Oh. No, it's the return of his real masters, Hamish and Andy.
Yes.
They got their podcast to do with a team of 8,000 people working on it. Want to carry Jack in.
You guys are my true masters. This
Get
is
out
my
of
number
it,
one
Wino. No.
Their show is more like a hobby that I do.
Ouch. Oh. And that's a public stabbing.
That is.
I hurt myself. Exactly what I was scared of.
Haim, I took Luke,
right.
Chapter 22, verse 4, and replaced Jack's name with Judas.
Right.
And
first time we've had a Bible reading on the show.
And I think it's name right. with Hamish and Andy.
Let's read it.
This is verse 4. And Jack went to the chief priest, Christian O'Connell. And discuss with him how he might betray Hamish and Andy.
Yeah.
He was delighted and agreed to give Jack money. Jack consented.
Let me ask a quick question here. Do you get money for your show on the Breakfast Radio
show? I get paid for
it. Oh,
I'm the chief priest. The plot thickens. How Jack. Smart the Bible was to see this pattern emerging so early on.
Jack consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Hamish and Andy over to him when no crowd was present, which is not true. He made it very public. So that's the only part of the Bible reading that doesn't quite work out. But
the rest of the Bible's factually spot on, especially the Old Testament.
So, Jack, this is hurtful.
No, feel like I'm one of the more neutral characters in the Bible.
I would like you to fast forward to the... and Jack the Grey Man, again, said nothing, for he had not spake, nor would he ever,
and both for sides
he was neutral.
Satisfied.
For Jack the Grey Man was friend of the devil and of God, for he had neither friend nor foe. He was neutral. I would like you to fast forward to the bit in the Bible, Andy, where the crucifixion's happening, so the betrayal's carried through, and to see what Jack is doing with us up on up there, being on the...
Well, we're on the cross.
We're on the cross. They've been crucified. And
he's counting his pennies.
I bet. He'd be counting his pennies.
The high priest.
He'd be shaking our cross to see if any pennies fell out of our tunic. Probably, because he's had his betrayal.
Yeah.
And he's sweeping in for more.
So, Jack, a couple of things.
Probably the hobby aspect is hurtful. Because, you know, this is a serious endeavor. We've got a lot of people here who come every week to make this the very best it can be.
Also, Ham, in my experiences, in hobbies, you pay to do them.
Yeah.
You don't
you don't get paid to
do a hobby.
I suppose
you do pay to do a hobby, don't you?
So if you
would
like
it be
us
easier
to...
for us to charge you money to come and do this?
No, I would still like to see it, even though I enjoy it like I would enjoy a hobby, I would still like to see it as a work-based payment system.
Okay. So that was hurtful, and I thought there's only one way to really solve this, and all the great injustices in your life, Jack, they kind of turned to something that's been your guitar. You've written an apology song for your mum, for your dad.
Yeah, I think that's what we need.
I think it'd be nice if we could have a song.
Song of biblical proportions.
Well, like Judas did in the Bible when he turned up at the cross with his flute and he played... Jesus, a song.
I'm sorry.
I haven't read it for some time, and apologies if I am misquoting it, but no, it is my recollection he turned up with a flute and played some sort of apology tune.
I shall toot out an apology tune next week.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Judas.
Jack.
Jackness. Gentlemen, I've got an idea. Some have called it a big proposal.
Hey, you called it a big proposal.
Remind me on the show to do my big proposal. I have a big proposal for the team.
Okay.
For all three of us. I have been thinking for a while, wouldn't it be cool if we could use this podcast, the accountability of this podcast, of stepping up and publicly saying we're going to do something, use it for good? Because I think if we say we're going to do something on the podcast... Mm. We generally do it.
Well, that's not true at all.
Maybe if we promise.
Look at the last three times you've promised something big.
Yeah,
exactly. Big open up, big finish.
I hardly think I can be blamed for hackers. You know for a fact that I went very hard.
Jack said he'd do me a favour with his Bitcoin. This whole thing.
This show
revolves around getting out of promises.
Why don't we then set the record? Why don't we then do something no one's expecting, which is make a promise that we follow through on.
That'd be the biggest surprise ever.
We kill a few birds with one stone here. I'm not sure how many of the flock we're going to get, but we follow through on a promise. We impress the listeners. We all get to do something that we like, and it could be a great way to round out the year.
Just so you know, Jack, these invariably involve something Haim really wants to do.
That's true. Fair suspicion. But there'd be a catch on this one, because you'll get something you want to do too.
And he puts it as his big proposal. We can't let everyone down. Then he goes for a 10-hour massage, Jack, or something.
He's trying to put a little chink in the alliance there. Jake, don't take the bait. Here's what I think we should do. We all promise each other to gain a skill this year, like to work hard at it, but we don't reveal the skill to each other. And then at the end of the year, we blow the socks off each other with our skill that we've learned.
Okay.
Now, the skill can be anything. That's option one. Option two has a higher degree of difficulty.
Oh, that was already high.
That was high.
No, option two has a high degree of excitement.
Okay.
But I don't know how this would work, so this is a bit of a troubleshoot here. Option two is we do the same thing, but one by one now we each leave the studio and we just say our skill to the listeners. And it's a secret and the listeners have to not tell us if they see us in person. They can't give away the secret.
Yeah, I know.
So everyone knows the skill we're going for.
If someone writes in about
emails
it.
Emails in. Yeah.
And like, we're not going to, if I go, oh, yeah.
That's the fun. Everyone's keeping a secret from us for the year.
They won't though.
Oh, they might.
No, that's the problem. And then if I find out Jack's trying to learn the didgeridoo. Like if he rolls in next week and goes, hey guys.
All right, what about this? Find out, keep it to yourself or tell me. That could be fun too. And then at the end of the year, Jack goes, well, my surprise for you guys is I'm learning the didg. But then we can go, we did know.
We did.
Do you know what I mean? Or wouldn't it be amazing if he, if the whole world can keep it a secret from us? That's the fun. It's like it's a trust game with the listeners.
Can we still then have a week to decide what the skill is before telling the listener?
From today?
Yeah, because I don't want to think. I can't think of mine right now. What skill I want to do?
You clearly have yours.
Yeah.
I actually thought I did, and I can't remember what it was. So I'm down with the week. I've got learn Italian going around in my head, but it's not that. Like, that's too time heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking
of getting my pilot's license, but there's a lot of
checks. Yeah, you've already started that. I would have suspected that anyway.
There's a lot of checking involved. It's very cheeky.
Do it though. That'd be a good one. It's very tell you're not interested in this at all, getting your pilot's license.
Not anymore, nah.
No. You went up for one thing.
I went up and there
was... What did Beck buy you, 10 lessons?
It was just, and it's...
No way you're doing...
No.
You wouldn't even do 5.
Yep.
And do 3. I don't think you'll do another one.
Yep. But the thing was, it was too checky. You had to do a lot of checks. It was like
for safety.
Like
safety checks.
50 minutes of checks before going.
Yeah, I remember when we went on the small aircraft, the guy went around the whole plane. He's got to look up and down under the carriages.
Yeah, a lot of looking, a lot of checking. Anyway.
My nightmare.
What about, I like the idea, but I feel like 2 out of the 3 aren't going to do it. Is there something that we all do together as a secret from the listeners?
Like a dance.
That could be cool.
Pretty underwhelming. Invite everyone to the music bowl at the end of the year to watch it dance.
Why don't there something we could all do together? Because then we can inspire each other to do it. And
I think I want to do a dance.
You don't, mate. Trust me. You don't.
So,
I don't. What
you don't want to dance.
But that's why I think it's fun to... All right, imagine we turn up, 5, 6, 7 weeks from now, the podcast, and we're like, how's your skill going? Yeah, good, I'm making some progress. It's kind of fun that we don't know what each other's skill is.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Rather than going... Hey guys, just giving you the update. 30 weeks till we do the dance. It's going to be so much expectation on this dance. It'd have to be like Olympic opening ceremony quality. And even then, people will be like, well, you had all year to work on it. So what's the big deal? I strongly recommend against a dance.
I think the dance is the example.
It wasn't for Jack. It was his calling. And I'm against it.
Jack, would you go on Dancing with the Stars?
No, I wouldn't. But, I've thought in the past, when you're at a party or a wedding or event and a circle is formed.
Oh, okay.
And
you need a cool dance.
You need a move to do in the middle.
I thought about that during the week as well.
Every time I get to that situation, I think, I'm going to learn by the next time I go to a wedding, I'm going to learn something cool to do in the middle. And
just
I never
20
do.
Seconds of a dance. Yeah. I've got the worm, so I'm always fine.
If you can perfect it and don't land on your face.
I've only ever done that twice. So are we at? Are we going to learn a secret skill? Question one. Question two, do we tell the listeners and not each other and hope that the secret remains a secret? Or do we just learn a secret skill that at the end of the year we reveal it to each other in some sort of pageant format? Mm-hmm.
Jacko, I'm not going to decide on this today because I, unlike everything else we say on this podcast, I want to, if we say we're doing it, I want us to actually do it.
Do it properly. Yeah.
So in 1 week's time.
We'll make the decision on the secret skill.
Yeah, the secret skill. But I do like the idea of having a big event in which to...
Unveil it.
Unveil it,
But we got to do part one then to have the big event.
I know.
No, just have the big event.
I'd love the big event without the other bit.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm getting a bit excited about thinking about the big event and I've done something great. Can't quite see what I've done. I know it wasn't a dance.
You can see them applauding.
I can see the cheering. I've done well. What did I do? Okay, 1 week.
Guys, we late in the year last year, we got a segment called Keep It or Delete It, because we realised we're no longer live as a medium podcast. Not everything we talk about has to remain in.
Well, allows us an element of quality control. Yeah, I mean, you listen to the podcast, you know the quality control is ferociously low, but we still have some standards. Yeah. Like, I imagine people in terrible parts of the world would still have some standards if you're running a hotel or something.
Yes,
we've been to a $1 a night hotel in Russia.
Yeah,
but they still had standards. Yeah. They had a door. They had some minimum things they wanted on their hotel to charge a dollar. And we charged nothing, so obviously our standards are lower than that.
Radio Mike, who works on the show here, sent me an email during the week about a special skill.
Right. He said we should do this on the show.
To do with Pokemon.
Oh, no.
So I think he can come in and tell us what it
is. Is it we didn't keep it or delete
it? Yep. We'll go keep it or delete it. Mike, come on in.
Keep it.
The way the obviously keep it or delete it works is we are nervous about what's coming up. Famously, my roast potato recipe made it on the show.
My golf fact about the President's Cup did not.
I don't even remember what that fact was. But the recipe with the potatoes, gift that keeps on giving, especially around Christmas time.
Oh, please don't go back into it. Okay.
I got a lot of feedback from people that had tried that recipe and were thankful it had made the podcast.
Michael Liberale, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Radio Mikey Mike.
He says, as a Pokemon fan, I can vouch that this would be unbelievably impressive.
Wow.
If well, you know, Jack actually do this.
Pokemon fan. Yeah. He pokes.
Can I just say, when you didn't reply to that email, I assumed we weren't going to be using it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You're slowly learning the ways, Mike. Jack still falls for this rubbish. He's been with us for 12 years.
You had landed in Andy's web without knowing it, and he was already wandering down towards you, spooling out some silk to trap you. Now, so, Michael, Jack, you also love Pokemon, so this is a...
I mean, I grew up loving Pokemon. I didn't jump on board the Pokemon Go phase when it came out.
A classic fan.
Well, if we keep this, we'll get this guy in to do this. So that's the next level of this. Okay. So, Mike, explain to everybody what Ben Frost's special skill is.
So, to say, for keep it or delete it, this will be it. This is where it will stop before Mike starts talking.
Oh, I thought it only stopped right on the intro. Like, I thought we're well past where this is be deleted.
Do you want me to play it again?
Yeah.
Okay. From now on.
Keep it or delete it.
So essentially, in the video games of Pokemon, when you encounter a wild Pokemon in the tall grass, they...
Is that known as a thing?
Yeah, that's true.
That's where you encounter them.
Okay.
And so you're walking around trying to stick to the short grass, but if you feel adventurous, you'll go in the tall grass.
Yeah, well, most of the grass is tall. It's just grass. That's not important.
Okay.
You said it like it was tall grass, TM, trademarked.
Each Pokemon that appears, so say a Pidgey appeared, it makes like a cry. Like it makes like, you'd know this.
Is that right, Jack? What is a Pidgey's noise?
Well, I mean, it's a Game Boy game, but it would make a digital like...
Yeah, so it's like each, there's probably over 800 Pokemon, and each one has a unique, like, bleep, bleep, like what Jack did.
Yeah. Sure.
And they're like, they're so hard to distinguish. That's why, is it Ben?
Yeah.
When Ben wrote in, I sent it to Andy saying, hey, look, I think this would be really impressive if he could do it.
He can identify.
By sound,
what the Pokemon is.
Mm. Off Game Boy.
Off whatever the, I don't know.
Well, yeah, we just get the sounds and.
But have they got better from Game Boy? Because Game Boy is obviously like a 1989.
I think he's playing it now on a PS4 or something. Like, I think it's all the sounds.
Pokemon's not on PS4. It's a gaming franchise.
Who is this guy? No, obviously PS3.
What would it be on there, mate?
PS3. Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yes. Okay, there we go.
So, Mike, will he be
doing... Did you just fist bump Hamish like you burnt me with Nintendo Switch?
Nice beard, by the way. Welcome to the Alliance.
Mike, will Ben be doing the original 150 Pokemon or all the new ones?
I believe he said he can do up to like
493.
So generation 4 okay. of Pokemon.
So to get a little taster of what a skill, because this is a skill that Andy and I have zero context for and we can't be impressed by, to get a little taster of the skill, can you just act out a little bit what we could expect to see, right? So I'll make the noise. Jack, you just say a Pokemon name, and then Mike, you say correct or not. And then Andy, you go, all right, that sounds like something I want to hear.
Okay,
here we go.
That's Onyx.
Wow, correct, Jack. What the hell?
That sounds pretty good.
Happy to do it?
Well, we'll all have to vote now. You don't get a vote, Mike. Okay. But
I'll keep it or delete it.
Yeah. Are we going to keep this conversation in the podcast and are we going to have him come in to try and do it?
What the hell? Let's keep it.
Jacko?
Yeah. I mean, I'm biased because I know the Pokemon and I think I would get a thrill out of it. I keep it.
Oh, shit. I think it has to be unanimous, doesn't it? No, it was only two out of... Remember, this is your beard boys again ganging up on me.
I didn't see that as a gang up.
I was going to delete that one, but that's okay. Well, Mike, thanks for coming in. Ben, we'll organise
it. I'm always happy to appeal to all walks of life just because, you know, we haven't poked as hard as other mons. I still want it to be known that we're the kind of mon who will poke.
Yes. Yeah, well, actually, I think it'll be great.
Oh, here we go. Gentlemen, far be it. So, I would hate for this podcast to be an area we just raised gripes with each other.
Yep.
That's certainly not what this is about.
No.
Never has been, never will be.
You think you got to shake them all out over the break? But I think we spent time into finding more.
I think we might have been harvesting the gripes.
Went to our own grapes library and did some research.
Yeah, we've all come this year with a bucket of gripes. Yeah. It's not a huge one for me, but it's a little behaviour I'd love to stop.
Okay.
Jacko, I've got here a screenshot of an example message between Andy and I.
Yeah.
Can you read the small print, the Apple-generated small print, under the text message he sent me that starts with "You're a legend." It's not because I'm. It says "You're a." It was about we've done.
You're a legend. They bloody loved it. Thanks, mate. Sent with Siri. Sent with Siri.
So Annie and I were in the middle of what I thought was two friends talking to each other about a charity day that Annie had organised. I'd helped out a little bit, and Annie was doing some stuff for a charity. I had organized a little bit of Lego stuff, and I thought we were talking about, well, that was great, well done, day went well. I wasn't talking to my friend. I was talking to a computer assistant that my friend had decided was good enough to talk to me because he was busy. So Andy is now thinks it's okay.
I know you didn't.
Andy now thinks it's okay to send messages to just get Siri to deal with me because he's busy doing other things. This is a huge low. This is a huge low in our relationship.
I was driving and my car said, your message came in and it said, I said, would you like to reply? And I went, yeah, great. And so then I just said it and it read it back to me what I'd said and said, would you like to send it? And I said, yes. And it was the first time that I'd experienced that. I now use it all the time.
Everyone knows that you're using Siri to do your dirty work. How long there's no...
Have you seen... I've sent you a few voice-activated texts. Do you get the sent by Siri symbol as well or... She's saying no.
Yeah, she probably doesn't... Probably didn't hurt as much because not a childhood friend. So my wonder
where do you
now...
see her, Jack?
My wonder now is, am I friends with Andy or am I friends with Andy's computer assistant who sometimes tells Andy what I've been saying to him?
Look, I know that...
You've invited a computer into the bedroom. There's a third party in this relationship that I didn't know was joining us.
Yes.
And I think to give Andy the benefit of the doubt, he does conduct all his phone calls, at least with me, from the car.
He does.
I've never spoken to him on the phone when he's not been driving.
I certainly have called you from my bedroom.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's nice. I didn't know that.
Beard boys.
Beard boys.
So it doesn't surprise me that he's trying to knock it off.
Andy's car is like Air Force One. Yeah. It's not a leisure vehicle. He's doing work. He's doing work in transit all the time.
No one's going to be happier with self-driving vehicles than Andy.
Absolutely. He'd probably take two computers in there with him. He'd take two computers and a putting machine. So he can just be, fulfill his Wall Street fantasies. You're right. But the problem is, here's my other question for the group. I have Siri on my phone. I just really use her for conversions, pounds to kilos, and sometimes, mostly back in the day, for Jack's, out of Jack's interest, I'd ask Siri what Bitcoin's trading at, because I was interested to see how wealthy or not Jack was that day. So for me, she's a glorified calculator, but I understand that for you, she's a very good friend. She probably you probably hang out with her more than me now.
Yes.
She's a better friend to you than I am. Is it the same? Here's my question for the group. Bit more of a metaphysical one. Like, is the Siri I talk to, does she live on my phone and Andy's, or are they different Siris?
Nah, I think she lives. I like to think she's on my phone.
Right.
Because she knows. Oh,
Siri's calling me.
She knows what
you like.
I like.
But is she spying on me and telling you?
Well, if she knew, to be honest, if she knew what was right, she wouldn't have told you that it was sent by her.
So you're angry at Siri?
I am. Oh. I am. I'm very angry with her because I don't want her telling people that I've sent
it. I don't want to be in the car this evening, Jack. Andy absolutely tears megabytes off Siri on the way home. All right. She can hear you.
Hey, loyalty card update. Over 5,000 last time
smart.
I checked. Yeah.
Really people smart. Wanting it's booming.
To, yep. Like Joe Bickers. I'm just going to read.
Yeah, go for it. I love it. We sat all night just reading people's applications for loyalty cards.
Looking forward to employee of the month for me with all the money I'm going to be making for my business.
Yeah. He's a business.
Well, no. So for the business he works for.
Yeah.
Obviously, them getting the 5% back, he expects his boss to be delighted.
Jeez, you come in, you turn in your cost sheet to your boss and it's down a big five.
Yeah.
And he goes, how are you doing this? Would he get this card in the company name or in his personal name? Because...
Oh, no, he's on behalf of the business, he's saying.
He's just representing them. But you know how it's that thing with like frequent flyer points where you're like, is it a company card or is it a personal card?
Well,
did you get a corp? Would we do a Hamish Andy corporate? Ooh, the black card.
I wonder whether there's a frequent flyer available that would want to team up with our card.
Yeah.
For down the track. Because I've got some bad news on the logistics front.
I doubt it.
So what were you hoping we'd be able to land a card?
Get the cards made up for.
I've got the cards looking great. We need to discuss the graphics and the copy. But just as far as the card,
I think the card
will be personally named. Everyone will have their own number.
Jez showed me a mock-up of the card.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah. But
whatever it takes is basically the budget here, I think. I think to get deals in...
What do you think would be reasonable then?
Whatever it takes.
But where would you hope it lands?
Throw a number at me and add a dollar because that's what it takes. Whatever it takes to get our listeners the deals they deserve globally, worldwide, with the card the stores love, I don't think you put a price on that.
They have. A couple of companies have.
And what is that price?
$3.10 per card.
$3 a card. $3 a card.
Yeah. So at the moment, we've got over 5,000 people. That's 15 grand.
I hear that.
That we're up for.
Isn't it crazy, though, within the first saving?
If we flash the card back at them, obviously we save $750.
But isn't it crazy that for people, for $3, so cheap.
Well,
people's first deal they get, they will probably make more than $3.
Yeah, but are you suggesting people have to pay for it?
No. I'm just saying we're shouting them.
Yeah, I know, but
these cards are on us.
Can we put our cap on how many loyalty cards we give out? Because I just need to know for our because this comes from our joint account.
Yeah, which I've never had a problem with.
No, I know.
Money in, money out. The world keeps spinning, baby. The account, she rise, she fall.
Yeah, but thankfully
you tip her the money in, I take her the money out. Like the tides,
I do
soothing
keep
like the tides as the money ebbs and flows.
Thankfully, I do keep a slightly closer eye on
the moon. The moon always trying to affect the tides, the money moon.
But
pulling the
for
tides
good
back.
Reason, it
allows, let those tides out.
It allows us to continue to do this stuff.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
I say...
Here's a couple of suggestions I have.
Yep.
Now, again, you can kibosh any of these.
Yeah.
Would we have the card sponsored by a company?
I think that's dirty.
It doesn't come, their logo is not on our card, but we add another card in there that says the loyalty card is brought to you by.
So you're sending people out two cards?
Two cards. One is just a card that says.
And one's a little mini billboard.
Yep.
Feels dirty. It does feel a bit dirty, okay. Doesn't it? It feels like corporate.
Yes.
Interest.
Yes.
Because like, let's say Macca's sponsors it.
Yep.
Which they probably would. Yeah. They'd be mad not to. Mm. Monopoly would be a little shitty.
Yeah.
Because then they would become the second biggest thing of the year.
Yes.
But that's not our problem. Yeah. You deal with it, McDonald's.
But you can.
But don't you think then, if someone goes to use it at KFC, they'd feel a bit guilty?
Well, that's up to them, maybe. But. Again, it just you seems wouldn't see like it on the card.
You just know that it's thanks to Macca's.
It's a separate leaflet.
What's your other ideas?
Capping the amount of loyalty cards we can have. So, say if we go cap it at, what do you think we might get to? 10, 15, 20,
yep,
1,000 people?
Cap it at 10.
Cap it at 10.
I suppose in that sense then, it is a win. It's a collectible. I suppose it rewards the people that are most up to date on the podcast.
Yeah, but it's not really.
And it rewards us.
But it's not really rewarding loyalty. Like some people may have been with us for ages and are not quite get around to filling in the details.
What about this? Cap it at 10, a further 1,000 but it will be difficult to get that next 1,000.
So here's the other thing.
For loyal people that are slow.
That's to send it out direct to everybody.
On postage.
Yeah, the postage. That's the problem.
Well,
the postage costs more.
Send it upstairs. Put it on Julie's desk.
Well, that's what I asked. I said to Sarah, take it upstairs to the old radio station. We could get
that's
the
magic.
Card
that
here
desk. I put stuff on that desk. It just goes.
Use some intern here to use the radio station because we record.
And maybe the intern. You know, sometimes interns. I hate to generalize. Mm. Sometimes they come from wealthier families because they've got just time to go and do work experience,
and they've got some connection.
Maybe,
to
maybe,
the
maybe,
big
maybe,
boss
maybe mum. They've a mum and dad credit card.
Maybe
they'd like to shout us. Shout us so we can shout the people.
So, okay, well, shall I look? But do you realize that 15,000 bits of mail going out, we're going to get caught. Julie's going to.
Yeah. We could Shawshank it like five at a time.
Five at a time.
That's thousands of days.
Yes.
Right. So we've got two big issues here, cost and mailing.
Yeah.
My wife's got a warehouse.
But I get it.
They'll catch us.
The envelopes got priced in at like 20 cents an envelope.
No, but they're shipping GoTo out every 8 minutes.
Yeah, right.
15,000 would raise.
That's suspicious. Well,
15,000 flat envelopes because they send out skincare, bulky goods.
You know what? The cost at the moment per card is they quote it on 1,000 cards. Idiots. We're obviously going to have. So let me go back.
Sharpen the pencil.
Let me go back and have a little chat.
Who's the company? Don't say their name because we could use that. Maybe they become the heroes.
I'll come back to you with that. That's a great idea.
Maybe Australian Cards Express or whatever become the heroes.
If that could have been their competitor.
Quickly buy that domain name. Like we'll wear that. What about we wear their hats?
What? For how long?
Two shows?
Yeah, okay. Their hats for two shows.
That's huge for them.
Yeah. They might not even have a hat. Would we make a hat up for them?
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
What about on this hat? I feel more comfortable wearing the hat than sending it something out with the card.
Yeah, I agree.
Why don't you sniff around with the hat offer?
Okay.
And see if anyone bites for the hat deal.
Why don't I start with the card company?
You start with them.
And if they aren't interested in the hat
deal. You might hit a brick wall. They might not have a progressive marketing department.
Yes.
But then have a sniff around. I'll wear anyone's hat for 2 weeks if
they give us
the cards.
Great.
That's how you do business, mate. And something's come across my side of the email fence that's got my attention. I think will get your attention as well. And Jack, you too. It's something everyone can relate to. It's a special skill. It's by a young man named Tim.
Where do you live?
Great question. Just outside Melbourne. So,
okay.
So the bar is lower.
Yeah,
no flights.
With no flights,
No flights. Oh, I mean in Melbourne, Reservoir. Don't want to give too much away, Tim. But 31 Arnsdale Road. No, just having a bit of fun there. For anyone that does live, if there's such a road in Reservoir. Here's the thing. It's to do with showers. He says, very simply, I can get the temperature of any shower right in a very quick amount of time.
Oh.
He joins us now.
Tim, ahoy to you.
Ahoy, gentlemen. How are we?
Great skill
we
to
are
have.
Good. Very good skill to have. Are you sure this is compatible? Our first question, I think everyone's first question would be, how do you know this is compatible against across all different varieties of showers?
Well, I mean, I'll start with I haven't showered in many showers recently in different showers. However, yeah, I've showered in many different showers in my time.
Mm-hmm.
And just consecutively, just get it pretty quickly.
Yeah, great. And, yeah, back in your single days when you had a couple of, you know, overnight stays at different people's houses. Is that what you're saying, Tim?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Come out, the girl goes, gee, that was quick. Well, no temperature time.
No.
Cut it by a minute. So I would judge that an accurate or a quick, an impressive amount of adjusting is, you know, one adjustment and you've got it immediately, you know.
Yep.
The problem with a lot of showers is you find your range finding, there's obviously the lag from the hot, cold, the actual nozzle temperature.
That was going to be a point of mine. It does depend on the hot water system and how old it is and how new it is.
Tim, what about how many knobs do you like? Do you like a hot and a cold? Are you happy with
the mixer?
The newer mixer where you can just rotate it?
No, I'm pretty versatile. I can either go one knob or two knobs.
Yep. Good man.
Good. Good knob versatility.
I'm going to throw this at you, Ham. Yep. I think we should do some kind of shower crawl with Tim. We line up, I don't know, one house and a couple of hotels in a row. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
I do love a shower crawl.
He does. Yeah.
How? Here's the tricky thing, though. The right temperature is a very subjective thing.
Mm.
Are we going to measure it with a thermometer? Or I imagine for the shower crawl, we'll need either yourself or myself, Andy, in the shower.
Yep.
Going no, out too hot, too cold, or whatever, or just wrong. I mean, maybe we don't even say too hot, too cold. We just say wrong, right.
Okay, no.
Until it feels good.
I was thinking more
a thermometer.
No, I was thinking more. Tim goes in,
but he can lie.
No, but so Tim goes in, he sets it, but he's got say 10 seconds. Is that a long enough? 15 seconds. What do you reckon? What do you think, Tim? What do you reckon the realm is?
I think
I feel like I could quite easily lie and just be there scolding and then say, no, that's okay.
But you haven't heard the second part, Tim. Yeah, that's
going to get
you.
Okay. Later.
So, Tim, how many seconds?
I'd say anywhere between 20 and 30, depending on the system that I'm using,
25 seconds?
Is that
impressive?
Is that fast?
I'm not sure how fast. It seems slow, doesn't it?
Okay. But I'm allowing for the worst case scenario, where a bad shower like takes a long time for it to heat up. You got to think about some showers. You turn the heat on and you stand there for 20 seconds just waiting for the heat to come on.
Yeah, but what you guys could do is I'll get the hot water going, flowing.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Jack. I went quiet for a little while there because I was timing out some seconds, and I think 15 seconds. If anyone's got a stopwatch on or an analog watch with a second hand, you'll be surprised how long 15 seconds is.
Oh,
After that, it wouldn't be that impressive to see someone get the temperature right. I actually think 10 to 15 seconds is as much as you would ever give someone to impress you. And I think we could do what Jack's saying. We run the hot water first for a while. So it is
clever, Jack. Very clever.
Ready to go. Well, joint idea.
Here's what I'm thinking, Anne. Tim, we get the shower up to speed to match conditions.
Yep.
Right?
Then turn everything off.
Turn everything off and scramble it, potentially. if it's a one-tap swiveler, you know, we might switch it in a certain way.
Nice.
Then Tim goes in, he gets his 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's got to be 10.
You or I don't mind who, but is standing by to have the shower straight after.
We jump in at 10 and this is right.
That's it. So there's a person that stands by. If it's scalding, he'll burn us and then he'll lose.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, we just jump in, or one of us just jumps in and goes,
that's right.
He's done it. And then we move on to the next one.
Yep.
If you get three in a row, which is a temperature that I'd be happy to shower at without adjusting the nozzle.
I
think that's fair.
I think we're very, very close. Mm. Do the tricky thing is people like showers at different temperatures. I myself like a warm shower. My wife likes it at approximately 150 degrees Celsius.
Yes.
I can take that into consideration.
But I think, I think there is a gender, you know, we don't like stereotypes on this show.
We hate them. We hate them. But usually wives, girlfriends, they will like a shower to be...
to burn off the dirt for some reason.
Around about just under the temperature that would melt the porcelain in the shower.
Yeah. I've also noticed that, and I did this test with Beck, is like the extra height that a shower loses so much temperature as the water drops. Sure. So Beck being shorter than me and Zoe being shorter than you.
No, I've done the test too. It comes out. I mean, it's phenomenal. I've put my head down at her level. It's still
hot.
Roasting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Can't even touch it.
Tim, I reckon, how tall are you, Tim?
About 177, I think. 177 centimetres.
Okay. I reckon Tim knows the right level for a standard male.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. My question to you was, do whoever's doing it, you or me, do we have a shower first? We set it to a temperature we like and we go, Tim, this is the temperature I like. Mm. It's then his job to recreate that temperature on all the other showers we go to.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
So he's custom making it for us.
That's very interesting, yeah.
Can you do that, Tim?
I mean, I give it a red hot crack.
Oh, hopefully not too hot.
What about that cold tap?
That sounds great then. Okay, we take him to a shower.
A neutral shower.
That
we hop in, we go, we have as much time as we want because we're not the superpowers.
Yep.
We go, that's nice. Tim, get a feel of this.
Yeah.
That's the temperature I want my showers to be.
Yeah.
He's then got to recreate that temperature in all the other showers.
Love it. Do you want to be our test case every time then, Ham?
I'll jump in. You want me to jump in?
No, you go. You be the showerer.
Yep.
I'll be the official, and Tim, you obviously the competitor, and all three showers I think is a coin. I don't think if it's just two, I don't think it's going to be enough. Is that fair, Tim?
I think that's pretty fair. Yeah.
Look forward to seeing you soon, my friend.
Sensational. Thank you, gentlemen.
Very good.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com. Listener.